and we want to raise these guys up. So they're going to be, he's going to be teaching tonight. So give Adon a warm Silver City welcome.
You got me now? You got me now. Amen to that. How is everyone tonight? Blessed. How about everyone well in their health? Everybody good there? Any struggles going on? You don't have to raise your hand. You know, I have to be honest with you guys. I actually was struggling a little bit last week, and I even had a hard time putting together a study. Usually, you know, this is only my fourth time, but I've always been pretty motivated and encouraged and already had an idea as to what I wanted to present. But, man, I was struggling with this one, and it was tough. You know, the past few studies that I'd put together, I'd already had them done like 2 weeks before I even had to get up here. And then, you know, I would go through and I'd practice. And then this one, I didn't even finish till about 3 p.m. today. And I felt, you know, I had like the, because I had written out a sermon or a teaching, and it was all about obedience, you know, like the wrath of God and the obedience, be obedient. And I think we all know that, but sometimes we're in places where we just need to be encouraged, you know? We're down and out, and we need to hear that encouraging word. And, you know, I needed that myself, and a brother and a sister stepped out and, you know, gave me a little encouragement, and my wife, she was like, come on, babe, you got this, trying to encourage me. And so my whole teaching, like, I had like 4 or 5 pages written already, and then it's just like, shh, just put those aside, and it started all over. And I felt prompted and moved to encourage you guys tonight. And so, you know, I don't know where you guys are at. The Lord knows where you're at. He knows if you're in a hole. He knows if you're stuck. He knows if you're struggling and if you're discouraged. He knows if you're sinking, you know. He knows that. And so, tonight, I want to tell you guys, don't doubt. Don't doubt in him. And when I was putting this study together, you know, usually we hear the scripture and then we kind of focus around those scriptures. But I didn't have a particular one scripture. I have a few scriptures, verses, that I want to surround this teaching by, and I want to show you guys how they tie in together. And I pray to God that you guys feel encouraged at the end of this. So, let's come before the Lord. Father, we thank you for this time. We ask, Lord, that if there's any of us in here struggling, Lord, you know our hearts, you know where we're at. Lord, if our hearts are hardened, Lord, that you would just turn our heart to flesh, Lord, and that we would receive your word, that we would apply it to our lives, Lord, and not being down and discouraged and just being full of life and running bright for you, Lord. We pray for that strength. And we pray to not have any doubt in you, Lord. We praise you and we ask everything in your name. Amen. 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 You know, it's funny, when I was writing this teaching, my wife walked in and she saw me writing with pencil, and she's like, what are you doing writing with pencil? She's like, here's all these cool pens. And so I have a bunch of, it's like all rainbow colored. So let's see how well I do with this. All right. So guys, when we're down and we're out, you know, and like I was kind of referring to, for me, when I was struggling with finding a teaching, you know, not that I was lacking joy or anything like that or kindness, but sometimes we could get so down and be struggling so much, and we're just hurting, You know, and it feels as if, you know, we're alone. And it feels sometimes like God's not there. And man, we're getting so discouraged. And I've even heard Christians say that they just, like, sometimes they feel like giving up. They feel like throwing the towel in. And it's like, oh man, that hurts. You know, that hurts to hear people say that. And so when you're in that like rut, you start to lack joy and kindness, and you know, you're not patient, and you find yourself not being loving, and peace is just not, it's no longer reigning in our lives as it should be. And over time, we can find our hearts becoming hardened towards people, towards our family, even like hardened towards, you know, the Word of God. You don't want to read it. You don't want to go to church. And it's like, oh, man, don't do that. Don't be like that. I'm just a messenger. And I hope that this teaching just brings you courage and gets you out of that rut. So when we're at this place, you know, there's that, we wonder, how do we even get here? What happened? And sometimes, you know, we can even be giving effort and being obedient and following Christ. And man, just all of a sudden, everything around us, you know, just starts to overwhelm us, and the cares of this world just start to bring us down. It's getting a little hot in here, is it? Can I get some AC up here? Yeah, it probably is a little anxiety. And so, there's good news. There is good news for you guys and for me. We don't know where we're going to be at in a couple weeks from now, tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen. And you know, not everyone in here is running bright and shining bright. But at one point in our lives, we might have been in those struggles. We might have been going through a real hard time. And for those of us who maybe haven't ever really had struggles, we don't know what's going to happen in the future. But there's good news. There's good news. And so I'm going to read. There's three main verses that I want to go over. Okay, and the first one that I want to bring to you is from Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29, 11. And Jeremiah 29, 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Now that's a beautiful scripture, but we have to understand the context of this scripture. And so this message was brought to God's people who were being held captive in Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. And the Lord had caused them to be carried away. So in this letter that was brought to God's people, after 70 years are completed in Babylon, I'm sorry, this is what it says. After 70 years are completed in Babylon, the Lord will visit his people and cause them to return to Jerusalem. And that is when the Lord tells his people of his plans of welfare. That's when this message comes to them. And so we're sitting in here and we could say, well, how does that relate to us? Well, I want to try and present that to you guys, how we can relate that to us right now. So, in Psalm 149:4, it says, "For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation." In whom other do we find salvation? You guys know the answer to that. In Romans 1:16, it talks about how salvation can be for everyone. For everyone. And you guys know John 3:16. We know that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We know these scriptures, right? So we too can be God's people. It's for everyone. Now that I've established that, we also know from scripture that God does not change. And Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." And in James 1:17 it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." God doesn't change at all. He's not going to change for your feelings, my feelings, no one's. God is the same. And it's crazy how, man, you see these teachers and they're presenting like a perverted gospel in the name of Christ. And it's almost like they're saying that God changes. God doesn't change. Get that. God doesn't change. So knowing that God doesn't change, in the same way he felt for his people then, he feels for his people now. Are we not God's people? And Christ the Lord was willing to lay his life down for us. Or since Christ was willing to lay his life down for us, he does have plans for welfare for us. He does have plans for a future and a hope for us because we are God's people. Are we not? We are, and so we can apply that scripture to us, that he does have plans for welfare and not for evil, and that he does have plans for a future and a hope. And so if we're just going through that, whatever it is, just bringing us down. He doesn't want that for any of us. He doesn't want that. And if any of us are weary, struggling, and discouraged, we ask ourselves, how can we overcome this? How can we overcome this? And you know, and we've heard these verses before, but I'm just praying. Oh, thank you so much. She could tell I was getting caught in mouth. Where was I at? All right, so how do we overcome this? Well, let's take a look at the next scripture I want to bring to you guys. And that's in Matthew 14:28. And you guys know the story. I mean, this story is it's like the best play a football team would ever have. You know, for me, I just really like going back to this scripture because it's just so encouraging. But let me get there. Starting at 28, Matthew 14. "And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' So he said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they get into the boat, the wind ceased." So if we look at 28... Verse 28, to me, when I read that, just before that, Jesus is walking on the water, right? And they're like freaking out. They think it's a ghost. And Jesus tells them, hey, relax. Be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid. It's me. It's me, Jesus. And you can see right here, Peter is already doubting. To me, Peter's doubting because he says this, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he's already kind of doubting a little bit. And do we not do the same, like when we feel like prompted or moved by the Holy Spirit to step out of our comfort zones, right? Peter was in his comfort zone, the boat, and he's, you know, stepping out of the comfort zone, and he's like, Lord, if it is you, give me another sign. I don't know what you guys say, but it's like, Lord, if it is you, if it is really you, then, you know, show me. And that's where a little bit of doubt starts to kick in. And we'll see where doubt will take us. So I'm already going to start telling you guys, don't doubt. Don't let that doubt in. Okay? Going on, 29. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He walked on the water. So if someone asks you, how many men do you know who have walked on water? Well, according to that scripture, I say Jesus and Peter both walked on water, right? But Peter not on his own, right? We know that. But as he was doubting, right, as he already had a little bit of doubt. And then when he saw that the wind, it says that the wind started to blow boisterous. And I guess to me, that's almost like hurricane. You know, it's getting windy. Things around him are starting to happen. He became afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out. And is it not when we step out and we're walking with the Lord in the most impossible places we would never see ourselves walking? Not on our strength, on God's. If we have a little bit of doubt already, things start to happen. Things want to bring us down. And rather than staying focused on the Lord, Peter, it says right there, but when he saw, meaning he was looking at everything. He took his eyes off the Lord. And that's when he started to sink. And I think, you know, I want to say that's what happens to us. You know, everything around us is just happening. Life is happening. And man, before too long, it's like, sadly, we don't have time. We start to take our focus off the Lord. He's not number one in our lives anymore. And then things start to get a little worse. And you know what's crazy too? As I read this verse in the ESV, it talks about that he walked to Jesus. Like he walked up to Jesus. Meaning the closer he got to the Lord, that was when he started to sink, because that's when the wind started to really kick up and it was like trying to distract him, excuse me. I thought that was, you know, like kind of odd that the closer that he got to the Lord is when he sank. But we ask ourselves, if we're in that boat, or not in that boat, sorry, because we're talking about boats, but if we're in that rut, we're just struggling to get by. How do we get out of that? It's so simple. It's so simple. Peter, what does Peter say? He cries out to him. He cries out to him three simple words. Lord, save me. And I don't want to yell because I'll probably blow your eardrums. But Lord, save me. And what does Jesus immediately do? He stretches out his hand and pulls him up, or catches him, it says, and caught him. And he tells him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt in me? Don't doubt in me. Don't doubt. And so, when things, you know, when we're out and doing the impossible, walking with the Lord, and if we have that little doubt, man, we're going to sink. We're going to sink, especially if we take our eyes off of the Lord. Don't take your eyes off and don't doubt. You know, when I was reading this, you know, you look at verse 32, and you can very easily read over that. It says that when they get into the boat, the wind ceased. And I look at that, and, you know, we would all just read that and be like, oh, okay, when they got on the boat, they ceased. But we know that Peter walked. We know that Peter walked to Jesus. And I know it doesn't say that Jesus carried him back to the boat or anything like that. But I would like to think this. I would like to think that Peter walked back to the boat. He walked back to the boat after his faith was restored, after crying out to the Lord. And when the Lord caught him, he was restored. He was restored. You see, and it's the same for us. We need to be restored sometimes. We need to hear that encouraging message. Like, come on, man. Come on. And you know, and whatever utterance the Lord gives you, if you're speaking to someone, trying to encourage them. But people need to be encouraged. They do. Like, you could look at someone in the eye, and sometimes you just kind of know. It's like, man, they're struggling. I don't know what they're going through. God, you know what they're going through. So after Jesus restores Peter's faith, I would like to think that Peter walked back. And how did he walk back? I want to think, and of course this is my opinion, okay? I would like to think, we know that the wind didn't stop until they got back to the boat. So that means the wind was still blowing. Things were still crazy. Things are going to stay crazy. But I want to picture that Peter walked back to the boat fully attentive to the Lord, fully attentive, with his eyes fixed on Jesus. And they got back to the boat, and then that's when the wind stopped. So, you know, we can relate this to our lives. Why are we sinking? What is going on? Right there it says, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt in me? So, you know, I think, or I believe that sometimes some of us, as things start to get going all around us, all crazy, influences from everywhere, that we start to sink because we're doubting, because we doubt. So don't doubt. When you're in that low spot and you need the Lord to restore you, cry out to him. Cry out to him. And you know, there's scripture that says that, you know, the Christ lives in us. And there's nothing wrong with a brother or sister, because Christ lives in them, that they reach out to the brokenhearted. We should all be in one accord with one another. And if we ever see a brother or a sister hurting, we need to step out. And we need to give them a hand and say, man, you're not alone. You're not alone. I'm here. How can I help you? We need that. We need that so much. So don't doubt. Man, I'm over here reading my notes, and it's like, I am not going by them at all. I haven't even looked at my notes that much. I skipped over like 2 pages. So, I already, give me one sec. That's 3 pages. All right, found my spot. And so, you know, we know that we can cry out to the Lord. But man, sometimes we're just so hardened. Our hearts are so hardened in our situation. you know, all of us have been through all different types of walks of life and situations, and we're all affected differently, and we all handle situations differently. But man, there are some crazy things that can happen to people. And when our hearts become hardened, man, it's just, we find ourselves being influenced by everything around us rather than the Word of God. You know, we're influenced by, I mean, all kinds of things. You know, you get influenced by TV, music. It wasn't too long ago that we were watching, I don't know, my wife likes to watch these shows like The Good Doctor or something like that. And the things they were talking about in there, I was like, why do you have to even throw that in there? It's like there's an agenda always trying to be pushed. And people get influenced by that stuff. You know, and you can get influenced by false teachers, you know, with false doctrine. You know, people presenting like, you know, very charismatic people. And the way they present it, it sounds very charismatic. And it's like, man, that's got to be right. But it's like they have their own agenda and it's sinister. It really is. It's deception. And so we can find ourselves being influenced by all that stuff. And what we need to do is we need to be influenced by the Word of God daily. You know, and everything we do, word or deed, should be unto Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Everything. And I know it's a struggle. I know it is. But we need to stay encouraged and we need to not doubt. Don't doubt in the Lord's word. And you know what's crazy is that, you know, you can have a conversation with someone who professes to be a Christian and, man, they're like, I don't know about that scripture. That's already doubt. They're already doubting the Lord's word. We can't do that. Either you believe it all or you don't believe any of it. Believe it. I believe it. I'm not trying to cram this down your throats, but we need to believe it. We need to trust. We need to trust in His word. He didn't say, trust in me with half a heart, right? Or He didn't say, trust in me Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Trust in me with all your heart. Don't doubt. So, after we're being influenced, if, you know, we're getting influenced, you know, and like I said, it's everywhere. Scripture tells us that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. The whole world. That's from 1 John 5:19. And in my opinion, every principality, every ruler of darkness, and every spiritual host of wickedness is trying to accomplish one goal. One goal. And since it fits right with this teaching, trying to get you to doubt. Trying to get you to doubt in the Word of God. And once that little bit of doubt sneaks in, and when things start getting crazy, we find ourselves sinking. Sinking. Going back to Proverbs 3:5, when we're told to trust in the Lord with all our heart, I've always kind of been like an action type guy, you know, action type movies, you know, like old 90s action type movies, the corny ones. But you guys remember that the Rocky IV, where in the before the last round with the Russian. You know, Rocky's there all breathing all hard and he's all tired. And, you know, he's supposed to have lost to this Russian, right? And his coach tells him, this is what he tells him when he's sitting in the corner before he heads out for the last round. Don't stop. All your strength, all your power, all your love, everything you got. That's what he tells him when he's in the corner. And when I hear that, it's like, man, we should kind of be like that for the Lord. We should trust in Him with all our strength, with all our power, all our heart, all our love, everything we've got, everything. And don't doubt. Don't doubt. Now, this word doubt or doubting in the verse that we just went over in Matthew 14, in this context, it's used as a verb. And I have my wife got me a concordance. And I don't know if it's Greek, Aramaic, or Hebrew, but in one of those three, it's pronounced distazo. Does that sound familiar to any of you for Greek? No? Okay, I thought it was Greek. And so it's pronounced distazo. And it means to stand in two ways. And it implies uncertainty which way to take. And do we not have two paths to choose from ourselves? Two paths. It's very simple. The world tries to turn it into A through Z path. Two paths. One path leads to eternal life, and one path or the other to eternal punishment. That's talked about in Matthew 25:46. So don't be uncertain with the two paths that are before you or before us. Now, the last verse I want to go over is James 1. James 1. So if you have your Bible, you can go there. James 1, 6 to 7. And this is what it says. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Man, when I read that, it's like, I've doubted before. I don't know about you guys, but I have doubted. And I didn't even think that I was being double-minded or unstable. But this is the Lord's word, and I'm going to hold to it. So you can see if you doubt, you can find yourself being influenced by this and by that. You know, whatever it is, your job or people. Man, how crazy, huh? How much of an influence people can be, especially for those younger folks who are with someone but not married. How strongly they're influenced by their boyfriend or girlfriend. It's like, man, you'd rather give to your own emotions and your own feelings than follow the word of God. And you know it, you've read it, but still, we put it aside. And in doing that, we become confused. And it's almost like we have no foundation. When you doubt, you become double-minded. And Christ said in Matthew 6 that no one can serve two masters. Never at any time can we be, well, I guess, I mean, you can have one foot in the world, right? And maybe one foot, I don't know if walking with the Lord, but at least in church, you know, putting on that smile, coming to church, going through the motions. But we can't serve two masters. And we have two paths to choose from. When we're unstable, you have no foundation. And you will find yourself standing on nothing. You know, there's the verse where it talks about how, you know, if your foundation is the sand or the rock. And if we don't have a steady foundation, being Christ, of course we're going to sink. Of course. You know, how sad is it when someone commits their life to the Lord. And man, are they not doing at this? Does it not seem at the get-go, it seems like they're out there doing the impossible, right? It's like they're walking on the water. They're doing the impossible. But then all the cares of the world just influence them and they take their eyes off the Lord and they start to sink. It's sad. But all we have to do to be restored is cry out. Cry out to the Lord. Cry out with no doubt. No doubt in your heart. So we need to be thankful to God because He is our rock and He is our foundation that holds us up. And in Him, we do take refuge. You know, for this past week when I was, man, kind of just going through a struggle, and it's like, man, Lord, you know, usually you prompt me to, you know, I'll be ready for the teaching, and I couldn't figure out why. Like, man, why am I struggling? Why am I struggling so much in putting a teaching together? And maybe it was because we need to hear this word of encouragement. We need to be encouraged. So we know that we take refuge in the Lord. You know, I have a little story to tell you guys before I finish up here, but just hang with me, okay? Because it's, just hang on. So we were, my kids, Adon and Emma, we were out scouting for deer. It's been years. It's probably been like, she was probably like 5 and Adon was about 10. I think that's the age difference. And man, she was all impressed with all these cows by the water tank. We were driving, the road went by our water tank. And she was so impressed by them. Like, she was, oh, man, look at the cows, Dad. And you know, they were just right there. And so I can't remember if I went past them and came back. But anyways, so we parked right back by that tank. And I said, let's go get them, Emma. And she's tiny, man. She had these little boots, you know. And so we're walking her, or Adon, Emma, and I, we were all walking up to the cows. And then I grabbed Adon in the right hand, and I grabbed Emma in the left hand, and I was like, let's go get them. Ah! You know, we ran at the cows. And they kind of just scooted out. And then as we turned around and we were walking back to the truck, I yelled out, here they come. And Emma and Adon took off like rockets, man. And I kid you not, Emma beat us both. And she was tiny. And then she had little boots, you know. And it was so cute. But what I'm thinking of and what I'm trying to relate that to is she saw refuge in that truck. She wasn't looking anywhere. She didn't care about anything else. She wanted to get to that truck. And there was nothing that was going to stop her. Nothing. We should have that same mentality towards the Lord. That same exact mentality. Not caring about, of course, caring, don't take me wrong, caring about the people around us, whatnot, but not letting ourselves get swamped by everything around us and running to our refuge, running to Him. Almighty God has already expressed His love for us at the cross. We know this. But if you find yourself hurting, if you find yourself hurting today, right now, cry out. Cry out to Him. But don't doubt. Don't doubt. Put that doubt aside. And after He has restored your faith, be sure to keep your eyes on Him. Don't lose sight of Him. And regardless of all the things going on around you, you will find yourself doing the most amazing things when you are fixated on Christ and His Word. You will find yourself stepping out of that comfort zone and doing things that are going to blow people's minds away and yourself. And we're not doing it on our own. God's in total control. And I want to say that I think God's a show-off too. He's like, I'm going to use you. And when we step out of that comfort zone, we walk on that water, we're doing that impossible thing. People are going to be like, what is going on with this person? And the Lord just did something that we would see impossible. We're a hard-hearted person, hardened, where a door opens for them to hear the good news of the gospel. And you're moved and you're prompted to share God's beautiful word with someone. And it doesn't have to be much, because the Lord is already working on their heart. And that little crack opens up. And you'll see something so impossible get done because the Lord is in it. Not because of us. So I want to tell you guys, don't doubt. Trust in the Lord with all your might, all your love, everything you've got. And you can't go wrong. Can't go wrong in doing that. God knows where we're at. God knows your heart. He's there. All you have to do is cry out. Three simple words. And I would expect that He would do the same thing, because He is the same. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, forever. I would expect that He would do the same thing that He did for Peter, for you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, I have to ask that, man, there was so much that I did not give to your church, Lord. So I ask for forgiveness. But Lord, that they would hear exactly what you wanted them to hear. Lord, and if there's anyone in here hurting, that they'd be encouraged, that they'd be encouraged to cry out to you, to not doubt in you, and to be restored, and to be fixed on you, Lord. And I thank you for our leadership, for Pastor Joe and Pastor Mike, and for our worship, and for the gentleman in the back. Lord, I ask that because of their diligence, that you would bless them. And I just thank you, Lord. I just thank you so much, and I praise you. All the glory belongs to you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 Go out, okay, guys? Be a light. Be a light. Don't doubt. Love you guys. Have an awesome week.